written on the board. He sees, He hears, He knows, and He delivers. And I want to encourage you this morning with that. We serve a God who, well, the Lord told us, He had some inspiring words that He shared with us when He said, "I am the resurrection and I am the life." And He is a God who sees, He hears our prayers, He knows what the situation is, and He is a God who's in the delivering business. And I want to encourage you with a little message this morning about that. And I would like to start in the third chapter of Exodus and read several verses there. And as you're turning to that, I want to remind you that this is intended to mean something for you personally. God's way, His power, His deliverance is meant to affect us personally in life. It's not just for the masses or for those that are not connected to us, but the Lord intends to personally touch each one of our lives. And I'm thankful for that today. Now, I'd like to read just a few verses here in the third chapter of Exodus. This was when the Lord was calling to Moses with a little work He had for him. And it said that Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. So Moses was out there taking care of the flock one day. And it says, "The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire. And the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, but put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. And I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey." This morning, God desires to bring deliverance to those that are in need. He desires to bring deliverance to those that are in bondage. And He desires to show Himself mighty on behalf of those who in humility cry unto the Lord for mercy. Isn't that wonderful? Because that can include me. I can be in trouble, but I can cry unto the Lord in humility for His mercy, and the Lord sees, He hears, He knows, He understands, and He wants to help me. There's a verse in the 18th chapter of Psalm, in the 6th verse, that says, "In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God." Have you ever been in distress? Well, I have. In fact, I've been in distress more than once. David had, or the psalmist, I didn't look to see which one it was, but the psalmist here had too. And they said that they cried unto the Lord and called unto Him, and He heard my voice out of His temple, and my cry came before Him, my cry, not everybody else's cry, but my cry came before Him, it said, even unto His ears. Now, I know that we live in a time where trouble abounds everywhere in this world. We talked a little bit about that this morning. And I know that when trouble abounds in the world, there are times that trouble comes and touches us, doesn't it?
In fact, quite frankly, let me say it this way. Sometimes it feels like it does more than touch us. Sometimes it feels like it overwhelms us. Sometimes it feels like more than just a touch of trouble. Sometimes it feels like it turns us upside down, doesn't it? The script Jesus said, though, in the 16th chapter of John, the last verse, I don't remember what the verse was, he said, in this world, you are going to have tribulation. He told us that. You'll have tribulation in this world. It's going to happen. It's going to come. But he said, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. So Jesus warned us, there's going to be times you're going to face hard places. You're going to face times that move you. You're going to face times where the trouble isn't just around you, but it's going to come and it's going to touch you. But the promise is that the Lord came with a message of deliverance for me and a deliverance for you. A wonderful, beautiful message. And I want to read quickly, we may have read this not too long ago in the 4th chapter of Luke. I don't know if we can read it too much. It's such a beautiful passage where, remember when the Lord got up in the temple and different ones would get up and read, and that particular day, Jesus Himself, the Master, the Son of God, He got up. I wish I could have been there that day to hear that the prophecy coming to pass that Isaiah made many, many years ago. And on this particular day, Jesus got up and He took the scrolls and He opened them up. And in the 18th verse of the 4th chapter, He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now remember, He's reading this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And He closed the book, you know, and He went and He sat down. And I can just, you just kind of imagine the spirit that must have been in that place and the feeling, the chills that probably went down the backs of those that maybe weren't even right before God. But Jesus Himself, the Son of God, was the fulfillment of the prophecy, and He just read this in their ears. And what a beautiful message, an inspiring message to all of us. I have come to bring deliverance to those that are in need, that could not find deliverance anywhere else. The brokenhearted, when nobody could do anything to heal the heart, I can help heal the heart. I can help heal the brokenhearted. Those that are poor and are without and don't have what they need in life to be able to go through life with a heart that's full, I can heal and help the poor. Those that are in bondage. Sometimes we're in bondage, aren't we? There are a lot of things we can be in bondage to. People are in bondage to addictions sometimes. They don't like to be addicted to things. They wish they weren't, but they were. Sometimes we can be in bondage to fear. Sometimes we can be in bondage to discouragement, where we just feel discouraged all the time and we don't like it. Sometimes we're in bondage to guilt, when the Lord's already forgiven us, and yet we're continuing to carry this guilt around and we're in bondage to it. It controls our life. Sometimes we can be in bondage to anxiety. There's lots of things we can be in bondage to. But Jesus brought a message of deliverance for all of us that spoke hope and deliverance to each of us and said, I am come to bring deliverance for all of these things. Why? He sees what your need is. The children of Israel that were in bondage in Egypt, that's what we were reading in Exodus. He had heard and He saw and He knew the trouble that they were in. And he said, I've heard their cries. I understand their need. And Moses, I want you to know, I'm going to come and I'm going to deliver them. That was back in the Old Testament where he spoke that to Moses. And now Jesus is here in the New Testament coming with the message for all of us. He has come, and you know, the type and shadow, Egypt was a type of sin. Egypt was a representation of bondage. And the Lord back then came to Moses and he said, I'm going to lead these people out. I'm going to bring them deliverance. And it was a type of sin. And he led them to a land in Canaan that flowed with milk and honey, a land where we could be saved and filled with the Spirit of the Lord and have a life different from any life we had ever had. And then we came to the place where Jesus, where the fullness of time came, and Jesus came and spoke in the ears of the people in the temple the words of the prophet of Isaiah, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach. Preach what? A gospel of deliverance that reaches all of us. Now, I know this. I know that sometimes it seems like the tribulation wins. Sometimes. Have you ever felt like tribulation won the battle with you? Have you ever felt like it came out on top? Have you ever felt like, Lord, I know the promise and the hope of a salvation at some other point in time. But Lord, right now, it feels like I'm on the bottom and tribulation is on the top and that it has the upper hand. I know you have felt that. Because I think all of us have felt that and will feel that. There are times when it's going to feel like the tribulation won the battle of the day. But I want to encourage you with this. I want to encourage you with the account in the 11th chapter of John. You remember the 11th chapter of John, of the story of Lazarus. And we're not going to read the whole story of Lazarus. There's just a few things that I want to bring to your mind. But you remember when Lazarus was sick. This is the 11th chapter of John. And Lazarus and his two sisters had a relationship with Jesus. They had a close relationship. They had a friendship with Jesus. And you remember, they said, well, I can hear him tell Lazarus, Lazarus, you're sick, you're on your dying bed. We're going to go to our friend, and he knows about us. He's heard us, and he's heard us, and he has seen us before. He knows us personally. We've seen him deliver other people. Let's go to him. And so they left, and they went to Jesus. They sent a messenger to Jesus, came to Jesus, and they told Jesus, they said, hey, Lazarus, you know, your friend... I don't know what all they said. I'm using a little bit of liberty here. But you know Lazarus, he's sick. He's in bed. He's called for you. He needs help. And then it strikes us when we read what Jesus did. In the third chapter, when Jesus heard it, Jesus said, this is the fourth verse, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. But what was it that Jesus did? He said he loved them. He heard that he needed help. But what did he do? He stayed there for two more days. We would look at that and say, Lord, why are you staying here for two more days? You just found out that your friend is sick. He needs deliverance. He needs help. He's in tribulation. If you don't come quickly, he's going to die, and then there won't be any opportunity to help him anymore. And Jesus stayed there two more days. Stayed there two more days. Why did he do that? What did the scripture say here? It said that when Jesus heard it, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for what? What was it he said it was for? Was it for Lazarus? Was it for his sisters? What was it for their personal benefit? No. He said it was for the glory of God. It was for the cause of God. And I just want to remind us sometimes, folks, that as saints, there's a bigger cause than we are. There's something more to this thing than just me. And sometimes we go through tribulation. Sometimes we go through hardship. But don't forget that God's timing is not our timing. And He wants to affect a work that brings glory to Him. That's what this said. He said, this sickness isn't unto death, but it's for the glory of God. That's what He said. And so He waited. And so I want to encourage you with this. There are times we need to allow our faith to take hold during those times of waiting. When it seems like, Lord, I need You right now. Lord, I needed You yesterday. Lord, the window of opportunity for help is quickly passing. And if You don't get here in the next 48 hours, we don't need You to come anymore. Because it'll be too late. And what does the Lord do? He waits 48 hours before He ever starts on His way. And then we look at it and we say, did He know us? Did He know that we had trouble? Did He not see the problems that we were in? Is He not a deliverer like He promised? We told Him, but the 48 hours passed and now it's too late. And that's what seems like happened here. But I want you to take note of something. This is what really encouraged me this past week when I read this. So you remember the story. He waited, and then after a couple days, then they went ahead and headed that way. And by that time, Lazarus had died. And in fact, he was a ways away, because by the time Jesus got there, how long had Lazarus been dead? Was it 4 days? He's dead 4 days by the time Jesus got there. But long past, he should have been headed that way. Whether he got there in time anyway, he didn't try to come. And Lazarus had been gone 4 days by the time Jesus got there. So he shows up, and as he's approaching, who was it that ran out there to see him? I believe it was Martha. She was the goer and the doer, right? Martha, she heard Jesus was coming, so she runs out to where Jesus, before he ever got there, Mary, the one that sat at Jesus' feet, the one that believed that he knew and that he heard and that he saw and that they had this real close relationship, she stayed back at home. She's having all kinds of conflicted feelings. Jesus didn't come. He drug his feet. Martha, she runs out to him. She's the one who was running around getting all food ready for him in the house. She hears Jesus is on the way. So she goes out and she meets him. And she tells him, Lord, if You would have been here, in the 21st verse, my brother wouldn't have died. If You would have been here. But she said, but I know that even now, I was wondering exactly if she knew what she was saying here. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And I've read this before, and I thought, well, maybe she thought He could bring him back to life. But I think it was Martha, when He said to move the stone away, I was almost thinking that it was Martha that said, yeah, it was. It was Martha that said, Lord, He's been in there 4 days. He's stinking. Are You sure You want us to do this? It's like she forgot all about the fact that maybe He was going to raise Him from the dead. So I don't know what all was going through her mind, but she, if You would have been here when He was sick, maybe He wouldn't have died. But I know that even now, whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you. And Jesus told her, He said, thy brother shall rise again. Now this is what I want you to get a hold of. Martha said, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Well, I try to put myself in the place of some of these folks sometimes. Martha is sad. She's grieving. And Jesus didn't come when they asked Him to come. And so when she tells Him, Lord, if You'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And then Jesus says, well, your brother will rise again. And I can almost just...
I can almost just put myself in Martha's spot. And I know kind of what maybe I'd start thinking. Yes, Lord, I understand that on the resurrection, my brother's going to rise again. I understand that there's going to be this day way off in the future sometime when there's a promise that he'll rise again. And Lord, I have hope in that and everything. But what she didn't tell the Lord, and I don't know if Martha felt this, what I might feel is that I understand that, Lord, but I don't have him here now. And I don't know when the resurrection day is going to come. And I'm grieving right now. And I got a problem right now that I feel like I need some help on. And I get the resurrection in the last day. It's just that right now it's probably not going to happen. It seems like that's way off in the future. And I feel like I have a need right now, Lord. He didn't say all that. But I think there's a lot of human beings that would feel that. Don't we feel that sometimes? We pray to the Lord and then we read the promises in the Bible. And I think sometimes the enemy comes in and he tries to say, yeah, that promise is there, but you're going to have to wait till you die before that promise comes to pass. So just hope in that, but you're going to be waiting a while. Look, I know that there's some things that you have to wait a while before the Lord comes. Because if you go back, the Israelites were in Egypt for 400 and something years, right? Well, they weren't delivered. Some of them never saw deliverance in this life. So I understand there sometimes we do have to carry some things through life. But here's what I want you to know. I think there's a lot of things that the Lord wants to do for us now. I think there's a lot of things that the Lord wants to come on hand and bring a deliverance now. Because listen to what's said here. Martha, she tells him, yeah, I understand, you know, he's going to rise again on the last day. I think the Lord was enjoying this moment. I can see the Lord just waiting for this next line. Because Martha says, yeah, Lord, yeah, I understand about the resurrection and there's going to be a resurrection on the last day. I get all that. And I can just see the Lord just waiting to be able to tell her this. Hey, Martha, guess what? I am the resurrection. Guess what, Martha? I am the life. I am the resurrection. And I'm here right now. And I can do something on your behalf. If you're going to wait till the resurrection and you know all about the resurrection on the last day, well, I got news for you. I happen to be the resurrection. And if I'm the resurrection and there's somebody who needs life, what doth hinder us from going ahead and having a little resurrection right now? Why don't we just have a resurrection party right now? Because I am the resurrection. I think the Lord must have enjoyed telling Martha that he was the resurrection and the life. Because he knew what was getting ready to happen just soon after that. So that's what he told her. And so I think that there's times that the Lord wants us to have a greater expectation and a greater hope in him than just believing that all of his promises of deliverance is always for some far off time that we can't experience now. I believe God has something for us to experience now. It might not look like what we envision as the victory. Sometimes the Lord has a better victory that doesn't even cross our minds. And remember, it's his cause too. Sometimes that helps us. Well, remember, it's not all about me. Rod, it's not all about Rod. You might have some tribulation, but this is for the cause of God. I want to be a disciple. I want to be a follower that brings glory to God. And that in and of itself helps me bear some hardship, doesn't it? When I understand, okay, that's right, it's not just about me. It's about the Son of God. Yes, Lord, I'll endure some hardship for you. And then I can see the Lord turning around saying, thank you for being a faithful, dependable servant. And I want you to know, I'm going to do something special for you too. Because I'm the resurrection and the life. He wants to accomplish those things.
sometimes in our lives that feel like have gone past the point of deliverance. The Lord's not bound by what we're bound by. They thought the Lord had the power to heal as long as you didn't die. But somehow their faith didn't understand that even after you die, that same power that opened the eyes of the blind and raised the lame man to walk again was the same power that could bring back to life that which appeared to be dead. Remember what we read earlier in Exodus about the bush that was on fire. In our minds, oh, the bush is on fire. So much for that bush, we'll have to put our hope in another bush because that bush is on fire. Day of opportunity for that, life of that bush is past. But no, this is God we're talking about. He's not limited by the heat transfer of fire to a thing like a bush that can burn up. That those laws don't... He created the laws. The laws of physics and the laws of chemistry, He created all of that. So He's not bound by that. He's in control of those. So the bush burned, but it didn't burn. Things can seem to die, but they're not really dead in the eyes of the Lord because He has power over death. The window of opportunity can look like it passed us by, but it didn't really pass us by because the Lord can back it up. Well, the sun's already gone past. Well, no, the Lord's in control of the sun. He can back it up. He can hold it in place. He did that. He did that a couple of times, didn't He? The Lord is the one that's in control. And as followers of Him, He wants us to believe and to have a hope that regardless of what the appearances look like, I am the God of the burning bush that didn't burn. I am the God that came and death seemed to be there, but it wasn't death. He was just sleeping. That's the God that I am. And I want to come and I want to preach this message of deliverance on behalf of all of those who will follow Me. And so this second part of the 25th verse, He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. But then He said, he that believeth in Me, now listen, though he were dead, even though you were dead, even though you were empty, even though the window of opportunity for life has passed, yet, that's what it said, yet shall he live. Even though these things have happened, yet shall he live. The Lord has new life to give us. Sometimes He doesn't change the situation, but He changes our perspective. Sometimes He opens our vision to see it in a whole different light where we say, oh, I see now, Lord. You have a work. There is a plan behind this. There is an end point. It looks rough right now, but Lord, You're doing this for the greater good. Yes, Lord, I see it now. Help me, Lord, to have faith in that and to be patient and to allow You to do Your work for other in behalf of other people's lives and our own lives. Put in for this. Expect it. Look for it with the Lord. And I believe that when we do that, when we live that way, and we follow that way, it follows then that Paul in the 4th chapter of Hebrews would say, there remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. There remaineth therefore. Therefore, even though all these other things seem to be the case, even though it seems like the tribulation abounds, even though it seems like windows of opportunity is passed, remember that it is the God of heaven that is in control of everything, and He's the one that can affect whatever deliverance He wants regardless of the situation. Therefore, because of that, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. In fact, he was even pretty straight about how He presented it to them. He said, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left of us of entering into His rest we should seem to come short of. He said, let's fear. God does not want us, He doesn't want us to find ourselves in the place where we lose all hope in Him. That's a slight against God, isn't it? God wants us to view Him as God, capable and able to do anything He wants. And if we don't have that belief, Scripture says, let's fear lest a promise being left of us, of entering into His rest, we seem to come short of. He's basically saying, you need to make sure that you avail yourselves of the rest that God has for us. God created everything. He put everything into motion. He put a perfect plan out there, and then He rested. God rested on the seventh day because the plan was perfect. Therefore, we are invited to enter in to His rest. If He's not worrying about it, why should I? If God's not worrying about it, why do I need to worry about it? Why can't I trust that the work that He performed is capable and able to take care of whatever the problem is? That's what God wants us to do. And Jesus said, I am, He told Martha, I'm the resurrection and the life. And if we follow God and allow our lives to be His temple, and He lives in us, and He's the resurrection and the life, what does that do for us by extension? Doesn't that give me life? By extension, if He's living in me, and He said He's the resurrection and the life, and I can enter into His rest, and He sees, and He hears, and He knows, because He will if He's living within me, won't He? If He's living within you, doesn't He see your situation? Think so. Doesn't He hear you when you pray and when you cry if He's living within you? Think so. Doesn't He know? Yeah, He knows. And He says, I am a deliverer. I'll come and deliver. I will be your captain. I will lead you to victory. And so He wants us to enter in to His rest. So this morning, I want to encourage all of us to take and have hope in the Lord that He does see, He does hear, He does know, He does deliver. And so therefore, as a couple of the Bible verses were this morning, we can say, when I'm weak, then am I strong. Why? Because of God that works in me. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Because Christ, He lives within me. So this morning I want you to be encouraged. When you go forward, when you face the trouble of life that you don't understand, because you won't always understand it. God never promised to help us understand everything. He just says, trust me, follow me, be willing, be obedient. And if you will, you'll eat the good of the land. And in the right timing, that brings the right glory to God, that affects His will in the best way that He can, He'll bring it to pass when it's His time. And He'll bring life where it seemed like the opportunity for life was no longer there. Let's trust in that. Let's believe in it. Let's rest in it. I want to be true. Pray for me. Amen.